I mean, the pressures of the aggressors, they get on us. And we no longer feel ready for battle. And we don't want to do the battle. And we just sit back. We become the silent majority. And we allow Satan to take his ground.
Welcome to Beechwood Christian Church Podcast. Mark is beginning a series of sermons entitled God's Goals for His Church. Each sermon is taken from the book of Ephesians. Join us for this week's sermon entitled Get Ready for Battle, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. May God bless you as you journey this life with our Lord Jesus.
Scripture this morning is Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Amen. I thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. I thank you, God, for your word. And as we open your word today, we ask, God, that you teach us and give us strength, and that, Lord, we may be reminded of things that we already know, that, Father, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready to get for battle. And that, Lord, you need to be with us and strengthen us and be our armor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I bet you everyone has heard a sermon sometime in their life on the armor of God. Yep. Many, many, many sermons. And this sermon comes at the very final sermon of the book of Ephesians. Now, we have taken 11 sermons from this particular book, and if you haven't been able to hear some of them, we have audio CDs available at the very end by the military bulletin. I need to get the last couple ones on CD for you, but I know we had a lot of snow, so if you missed one, feel free to get it. This is the final one. And we have learned that God has given the church a lot of blessings. Amen? Amen? He has given us spiritual blessings so that we can bless other people. And that once we were the walking dead, we were dead in our sins, and Christ has given us new life. We also have a new citizenship. Isn't that great? Our citizenship is in heaven. What a blessing God has given us that we have citizenship in heaven. And that God has brought all kinds of people together. He brought the Jewish believers in Jesus Christ together with the Gentiles believers in Jesus Christ. And that was something that could have never happened otherwise. So God brings people together in Christ. He also transforms his people. Amen? He does that through the Word and the Spirit. He also tells us to put off certain things, the deeds of the flesh, and put on the deeds of the Spirit. And so we have learned that we need to do that, and that we have become the light because Christ is the light in us. And we then can expose the darkness. We've learned that we've become the bride of Christ, that we need to submit to Him, and that He submitted Himself when He came as a human being and He died on the cross for our sins. And that we need to live in total surrender to God and as our attitude of service. That is our attitude. And now we get ready for battle. And the Apostle Paul says, you need to be ready for battle. And this is how you get ready for battle. Now, I want to remind us of something. And we're living in a time that around the world, it seems to be shaky, doesn't it? I mean, we see what's going on to the Ukraine. We hear it on the news. We see what's going on. And war, the mere mention of war makes us tired, doesn't it? You know, we are a nation that truly is tired of war. We really are. And when a nation, though, becomes tired of war, we've got to be careful. Because it's at that time that we can become vulnerable. We can become vulnerable. And you say, well, Mark, how is that? Well, I love history. And I love to look at history because I believe we can learn from history. And if you look before World War II at the nation and the attitude of the nation, we saw that we had become isolationists. Now, what that means is that Europe was having turmoil. Hitler was beginning to take over various things. And there was an attitude that said, well, Europe has nothing to do with us. That's their affairs. And we let it go. We shouldn't become involved. In fact, there was an attitude that who are we to police the whole world? Now, I've heard that today in our society. And at times I say, well, that is true. But we must be strong. And there was an attitude of appeasement. Now, what that is it's an attitude or a policy that says, well, we'll give them this if they don't do that. Okay? And many times they gave land to appease Hitler. And that was done. Until finally, Hitler had taken over, had he not? And he had to be stopped. Now, when I look at the attitudes going on in our society today, and I look at what's going on with Russia, I become alarmed. When I look at what's going on in the Ukraine, and I just simply ask the question, will the world repeat the mistakes of World War II? Will we do the same thing that we had done then? Now, I'm not saying that Putin is Hitler. I'm not being Hillary Clinton, okay? So, you know, I'll probably have to go on in the news and make a retractment or something. But I am saying it is something that we need to be aware of because we can learn from history. I'm looking at the world situation now. And I have a mindset that has come into America and in NATO itself. Do you know what? I think the church can get the same mindset. I think the church can be in the same situation. You say, well, what do you mean, Mark? I mean, the pressures of the aggressors, they get on us. And we no longer feel ready for battle. And we don't want to do the battle. And we just sit back. We become the silent majority. And we allow Satan to take his ground. And we don't use our armor that God has given us. And the pressures from our culture has caused the church to go into an appeasement mode. All right, let them have that. Prayer in school? Well, okay. Let's forget that. Let's forget this. Let's give up that. Until we find that we are the minority. And then we say, now what are we going to do? You know what we have to realize? That with God, we are a majority. We truly are. With God, we are a majority. And that's why God wants us to put this armor on. That's why it's so important. That's why even though we may have heard a million sermons on it, we need to be reminded about it because we forget to put the armor on. We become tired. And so Paul tells us to do this. Number one, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor. You see, A, we must be ready. We must be ready. B, this armor helps us to stand our ground. We stand our ground with this. And C, without it, we fail. Without it, we fail. Because we can't fight Satan on our own. Do you know that? We cannot fight Satan on our own. And so therefore, in verse 13, he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. We need that armor. We must not fail. We must awaken. Now, number two, I think it's important that we know who our enemy is. You know that? We need to know who our enemy is. Satan has been able to divide the church. He has been a master at that. To divide us. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Couldn't be any plainer. But B, we've been fighting each other. Too many times, the church has been fighting each other. And our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We've tried to fight on the political ground, and we've lost ground. Now, I think we have a moral obligation to vote for Christian principles and laws. We have a moral obligation to put in Christian laws. We have a moral obligation to stand up for that. But you know what? The battle's going to be won when we convert the souls. That's what we have to do. The battle's going to be won when people come to Jesus Christ and their heart is changed. It is a spiritual battle. It is not necessarily against flesh and blood. And I think it's interesting that Jesus never said to overthrow Rome, did he? He never said, let's go and overthrow the Romans. He said, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And how true that is. The church has been sidetracked, people. We've been sidetracked into arguments. We can argue with each other. We can argue inside. We can argue outside. We can argue with the church down the road. We can argue. We're good at that. Woo! But the person we need to be arguing against is Satan. We've become sidetracked with the color of the carpet. We've become sidetracked with pews or chairs. We've become sidetracked with the color of the walls or the style of music or the types of instruments or the lighting or, and the list goes on, doesn't it? And the schemes of Satan continue taking us away from what the church needs to do. Even causing us to battle one another. How sad. Well, take a look at the warrior here. Isn't that kind of neat? Now, I saw a lot of armor, and what I kept finding was medieval armor. But Paul's not talking about medieval armor. He's talking about this kind of armor that a Roman soldier would probably use, okay? And the very first thing he tells us is, take a look at the armor. That's my third point. Take a look at the armor. And then A, let's look at the belt of truth. Now, isn't it interesting? It starts with a belt. I heard a chuckle. I agree. I think a belt is very important. And sometimes I want to say, here's a belt. You can use that belt. It keeps everything together, you know. The belt, this holds everything together, right? And have you ever studied what the Bible says about the belt, the truth? Because the belt is called the truth. And the Bible says in Isaiah 65:16, calls God the God of truth. Amen? Boy, as Christians, we need truth, don't we? We don't need to be confused about what truth is. We can have the truth when we have God. Hebrews 6:18 says, God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. He is the truth. And God's people must be like him in truth. That's what Paul's getting at. Put on truth. Put on Christ. Put on truth and always stand for truth, because truth will prevail. Don't ever take the schemes of the world where lying is told to be right. No, truth is right. Well, B, the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the breastplate protects the heart, doesn't it? Kind of an important thing. The breastplate of righteousness. That protects the heart, okay? And if you look at Proverbs 4:23, it tells us to guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I love that verse. We need to guard our hearts. We're surrounded by righteousness, and it's guarding our heart. Your heart can be evil, and righteousness is going to cleanse it. Isn't that right? It leading you to the right path. I was talking to my cousin that is in Arizona. I was talking to her on the phone. She says, I got to teach a lesson on righteousness. I said, oh, good. It's good to hear that churches are talking about righteousness. And she said, Did you know that the Chinese characters, many of the Chinese characters, they use symbols and little pictures? And the actual symbol for righteousness is a lamb over a man. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Jesus, our lamb, covers us and makes us righteous. And so our lives need to be filled with righteousness. Now, see, our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Boy, I tell you. And I was looking at some of those sandals, and they actually had little spikes on them, on the bottom, so you couldn't slip. That's kind of neat. I thought, wow, if they had a club, they probably could golf. You know? I don't know. But they could turn, and they could move, and they could fight. And you know what? The church has to be ready to tell others about Jesus and to give this world peace. The church needs to be ready. Romans 10:15 says, how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Oh, church, got your shoes on? Ready to go. Yeah. That's the best news that we can ever bring, that Jesus saves. Now, the shield of faith. Now, most of the time when we looked at the shield of faith, I saw this metal shield. Well, it wasn't exactly built that way. In fact, the old shields had wood. And they were glued kind of together, put together, and they had a wood outer part with a metal frame. Now, Satan would use flaming arrows to burn and destroy. And the shield that was made of two sections of wood that were put together, when that arrow sank into the shield, it would extinguish the arrow. And so the men that were fighting would try to hit those, make the arrows hit the shield because they knew it could be extinguished. And how beautiful that is. You know what? No one can take away your faith, people. You decide to put the shield down. You give it up. You throw it away. And when you do, we become so vulnerable to Satan and to his attacks. And he works on us. He makes us doubt. You worry. You fret. You make decisions based on the world rather than on your faith. And you live life without God, and Satan has you. He has you. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is our shield, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. He is our shield." Now, the helmet of salvation. Because our salvation looks forward, not backwards. Our salvation focuses us to move forward, to look for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this mind, it is this mind that is being renewed by God's word. Amen? Amen. And we must protect that. The Word of God is placed in our minds, and we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so we got to put on that shield, that helmet that protects our heads. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will." People, I cannot express how important God's word is in our lives. It is so important that we be in God's word so that our minds can be transformed. Wow. And then there is the one weapon that he mentions. And it is, I actually think there's two weapons, but many people say there's one, but I think there's two. And I'm going to tell you the other one, but let's look at the sword of the Spirit, okay? Let's look at that sword. It's called the weapon. And you look at the apostles prior to the day of Pentecost, before God's Holy Spirit came down, they were shaky people. I mean, they were scared to death, were they not? Amen? I mean, they were hiding behind closed doors. They had run away from Jesus. They were scared out of their minds. But on the day of Pentecost, God's Holy Spirit came down, filled their hearts, filled their lives, and they became bold, speaking out. And that's interesting because Jesus knew that was going to happen. Listen to what he said. Before he ascended into heaven, he says, "You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And that power is God's Holy Spirit. We receive God's Holy Spirit when we are baptized. We receive God's Spirit from on high, and we are empowered. Now, we can say, Holy Spirit, forget it. I don't want to take my sword today. I just want to give in to everything. And how sad that is. Because we are to move with God's Holy Spirit, the sword. It's power on high. The other thing that I think is a weapon, he tells his warriors to do one thing. Pray. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, he says, pray in the Spirit. Pray for the saints. Pray for each other. And he said, Paul, he says, pray for me. You know that I have pray, but it should be prayer. There's a mistake there, okay? You'll catch it. If you're an English teacher, say, I caught it. Okay. Prayer is our communication with the commander. It really is. Do you realize how many battles have been lost because of the lack of communication? Battles have been lost time and time again because of the lack of communication. Now, there's also another thing. We are witnesses of it, of Flight 370. Wow, look at how much information has come out, and some wrong, and we're doing this, and we're getting all kinds of communications except the right stuff, right? And finally, we start getting some things. Communication is so very important. If you destroy the lines of communication of the enemy, and you improve the communications that you have with your forces, that's going to make or break a battle. It really is. Pray. Jesus is your commander. You cannot be a warrior on your own strength. You cannot be a warrior. This book proves it. From before the time of Jesus, men tried to live on their own. And you can't do it. Well, you know that when you dress in the full armor of God, you're putting on Christ. Did you kind of get that? Yeah. In fact, you're putting on truth. He claimed to be the truth. That's the belt. And if you look at that picture, you can see there's the belt. The righteousness of Christ, the breastplate. The one who makes us at peace with God, the feet of the gospel, the good news. Spread it. The author and perfecter of our faith, who is our shield, Jesus. And the one who gives us salvation, our helmet. And then, the sword. God's Holy Spirit working with the Word is powerful. God's Holy Spirit working with the Word is powerful. And then, communicate, pray, pray. Identify the enemy. It's Satan. Put on the armor. Don't do it alone. We go to the one who defeated Satan. And that's Jesus. He knows how to do it. We don't. He does. Amen. We're going to offer a hymn of invitation, and I'm going to ask the team come forward. And as we offer this invitation, maybe someone's trying to make it alone in life. You can't. It's too hard. It's too rough. We need a Savior to help us. Won't you come? As we offer this invitation, let's stand together.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Feel free to visit us on our webpage at www.beechwoodchristian.org or come and worship with us. Services at Beechwood Christian Church are located at 12950 Easton Street, Northeast, in Alliance, Ohio. Sunday morning worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school for all ages is at 9:30 a.m. We'd love to have you come. May God bless you and your family, and may we look to Jesus as we journey through this life.